So I have two things that I could talk about. Which one would you, like the anime one or the weird cultural hair one?
One is more topical. So yeah, we're going to do the hair one.
Cool. Great. Okay. So, do you want to know the easiest fucking way ever to pick out whether a girl has naturally curly hair or not, regardless of like the quality of like the blowout?
Sure. How would you know that?
They never stop playing with it. If it's true. I blow dry my hair on Monday. I have touched it more in the last 72 hours than I have touched my hair when curly in the last like 5 months.
Okay. I thought that this was going to be like a neurotic person thing. Right. But I touch my hair because I'm neurotic. Regardless of what its texture is, I would do that.
No, but I'm like, I punched my mic. I run my fingers through my hair like this. And I was sitting at So Many Hoodies work the other day, eating tacos. And I was just combing my hair out like this, seeing how long it could go. And I was like, wow, it's fucking everywhere. But God, it's so fun.
Rapunzel up in the joint.
Yo, I didn't realize how long my hair was until Monday because I was just like, it can't be like that long. Like after Sush, I was like, I have some time this morning. I'll see what happens. Can't be that long. No, it is. It goes to like basically, so my hair when curly stops at like the top or middle of my bra on my back, but this goes to like,
that's like your mid back. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so much longer than it should. And it's also fucking, the other thing that I've realized is because I keep brushing it, it's just strands are falling out all over the place. So we can have like a fun little counter today throughout today's pod, which is how many times does MJ fiddle with their hair?
Oh man, I'm not keeping track though. Maybe at some point.
It's kind of lose like, count.
Yeah. Lose, it's kind of like how many shots.
It's been three in like the last 2 seconds. That's four. There's no
take
point.
Take a sip of water for every time MJ runs their hands through their hair.
At least it's just water.
We all just be hydrated. It's like how many shots So Many Hoodies owes me for all of the fuckboy faces that they made when in Jean.
As long as it's the Jello shot, it's not so bad.
It's 19. They're 19. At 19.
Bro, we killed like...
We each killed 20.
We each had 20. You say it like, it's a crazy thing, but Jello shot is much easier to put down than...
We also did it over the course of like 4 hours.
Oh yeah, and we had a team. We had a team assembled. You know, we were ready to test.
So Many Hoodies made me 78 Jello shots for my birthday because I had never had Jello shots before.
Why 78?
Because that's how much they had.
That's okay. How old MJ actually is.
Oh yeah.
They've always looked like this, so
there's no guaranteeing how old I am. What you gonna do? Find my birth certificate? You're believing paper from Texas?
Texas paper. MJ was there when Texas was created. It's actually kind of fun.
That's the other running bit that like a couple of our friends have made is that I'm actually just like a fae that's kind of fucking around now, seeing what I can do.
That kind of makes sense, actually. Like, I'd believe that if someone told me.
All right. So I feel like that's enough for a cold open. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Cosplay Con Crunch. I'm your host, MJ, also known as the Cosplay _Cajun. And I'm here always with my co-host and exasperated husband.
I'm Ryan. You can also find me on Instagram as ActualRye96.
And we have a special third voice today. A third random voice that you guys have definitely heard. It's Morley Gray Cosplays!
We got the full name.
Yeah, sorry for yelling at you about that.
It's so funny. Because it was so passive. You went up and I was like, so what do you think of the podcast? And you were like, you're saying my name wrong. And I'm like, okay.
Well, because it just makes me sound like an asshole otherwise. It's like, oh, yes, this guy, like, maybe he'll stab you, maybe you won't.
Yeah, he's just morally gray, just in exactly. Every respect.
I mean, in my phone, your name is not Ambiguous Ethic Cosplays. It's just Ambiguous Ethics.
Great.
That's good.
Super concerning. Totally not at all, yeah.
So Many Hoodies in my phone is Danimal Cracker, and that changes like once a week.
I like that. Nice. That's adorable. See,
that one's Whale Shark.
It's also topical for So Many Hoodies because they cosplay Cracker.
They do cosplay Cracker.
So
it's a One Piece character. There's an entire family named after food.
Cosplay. So cosplay underscore Cajun. Do you want to do you want to introduce the topic of discussion today?
The topic of discussion today and why we have great cosplays. I'm gonna keep fucking around with it. See how many
butcher different my name every time.
Morally cosplays.
Cosplays morally.
Cosplays. Wait, that's the topic of
a different episode. Coming up later.
Yeah, true.
We're talking about grad school because we're both in grad school, buddy.
Yay.
That's the level of enthusiasm of a grad student.
It depends. It depends. We have some people in our program that they're about to go to internship, and goddamn, have they checked out, and they're so excited.
Good for them. Couldn't be me.
That's because you're at the end of your first year.
Exactly.
But I'm at the end of my fourth year, and it's senioritis all over again. But I never got I did get senioritis the first time.
But then COVID happened. Oh, are you talking about senioritis in high school?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I did.
Did you get senioritis in high school?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I knew someone that didn't, and I was like, I feel like you're going to stick around this town for way too long.
Oh, I figured that the person who doesn't get senioritis is the person who's like, you know, like the grind culture type person.
Wasn't that you?
Me? No, not in senior year. Every other year. Not in senior year.
You won valedictorian by 0.002 or some shit.
That's not... Don't put that slander on my name, all right? It was 0.007. All right? 0.002. Come
on now. It's the number difference there is really important.
It is. It's like
0.005.
It's a factor of three. So, anyways.
No, I want to stay on that. What the fuck? Factor of three?
It's a factor of three. Because it's 2 to 7. That's like at least a factor of three. Yeah.
I'm just laughing at you.
Got two psychology people in here, and then there's a math guy, and I don't.
There's just an engineer in the corner upset about numbers.
I'm just saying, like, that's what it was.
Factor of three means nothing to me.
Oh, yeah, you haven't had to take stats again.
No, well, not yet.
Soon. Get ready.
Terrible. Spring of your second year?
It's either this upcoming fall semester or it'll be in.
Have you been able to re-register for classes for next fall? Because like mine's like kicking me out and throwing a hissy fit.
Yeah, I have. I had to get like pre-authorization from one of the professors, but
did
I was able to
not send in my pre. That might be actually what the problem is. Is my advisor just hasn't sent in my pre-authorization form? See, this is the fun nitty gritty that no one tells you about whenever you apply and try to go to grad school. Which is, everything is bureaucratic. It's so all kind much. Of stupid. And everyone there is just as upset about the system as you are. So
I was going to ask before you move on, do you guys have the same thing that we had in like our undergrad where the seniors get to go like register first? You don't have that.
No,
do you all register at the same time?
Well, because like you don't. So I'm a fourth year. So the classes that I'm taking are so vastly different from what you're taking.
So there's like no competition really.
Yeah.
Only for prac.
Yeah. But my like class schedule is like a preset, like this is what you're taking. You don't have a choice in this, at least to kind of catch up to where I need to be.
And that's because we didn't. And that's partially because you get less choice if you don't come in with a master's.
Yeah.
I see.
I think the important thing that we need to say here is that we are getting doctorates in psychology.
Right. Yeah.
without having had.
And a both master's. Of us didn't go through master's. So I graduated undergrad early. And so I started our program right before I turned 22. That's because I have a super early birthday. You, I think, graduated on time, but had a similar thing.
Yeah, I graduated like on time within the normal 4 years or whatever. And then I jumped straight from undergrad to this program. So that's like going right from undergrad to the doctorate level.
That's incredible. I know that when MJ started, that they were one of the younger people in their class. So probably the same
thing. His class is finally one that's caught up to my age.
Okay.
Yeah, it's about half our class, or at least almost half, is around my age.
Yeah.
Which is wild. And like, half of my cohort is coming in without a master's degree.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is wild because the previous program director had been making a huge push to not allow people without master's in. Which is kind of a push across the APA, not across the board.
Oh, I see. Okay. I mean, met a couple of people who had had a master's when they came in. Was their like course load like any different?
Yeah. Because we have to take counseling level courses. So counseling is a master's level degree.
Okay.
So we have to take master's level courses to basically make up for the gap in knowledge.
I see. So it's almost been a little bit of overtime now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You basically like gain the knowledge of a master's. You can also apply for a master's along the way, basically, as you're going. And then you kind of go into the doctorate level stuff.
Yeah. Which is weird because they're like teaching you stuff at the same time. I remember my first year, I had two counseling and two doctorate level. And that was for the first four semesters that I was at school. My cohort, I think I was one of two that didn't come in with a master's. And it was just me and him. And then everyone else was somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's cool. But yeah, I hope they're good.
Yeah.
I hope they're good.
So I think now we can move on to the sort of like topic that we have for today, which is I have now two grad students captive in my office. It's kind of great.
There's a dog on the other side of the door. We can't get out. Please send help.
Yeah, I know. Hopefully you won't be able to hear the dog, but we'll see.
You'll be able to hear the dog.
No.
John and you do so much work. And I try. You still hear Nightwing.
He cuts through. He really does. Anyway, so what I have essentially done is as a sort of outsider, I'm going to serve as the surrogate to the audience, right? For people who don't really know about how grad student life will work with cosplay, I'm going to be asking you guys questions. I'll be directing them first at one of you. One of you will answer, and then the other person can sort of chime in their experience as well.
I love how you're explaining this like it's like a game show. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, I feel like that it keeps it more interesting because if I just throw out a question, just like for anybody, the sharks will start, you know, coming out, you know, and I don't want that.
Sharks that are in the walls, obviously.
Mm, the wall sharks.
I thought there was a lady in the wallpaper.
That was more a reference.
I'm like that you knew what I was referencing. He doesn't, but you did.
I appreciate it. I appreciate references.
I like having Gray here because that means that he gets my references that you don't because he was a liberal arts person.
Yes, indeed. I did take like three liberal arts classes, which is one too short. So, yeah. My first question.
Stigs at that school.
My first question is directed to Gray. I think this is good. This should be for a good discussion. I know that grad students have a lot on their plates financially. What would you say is the most expensive part of being a cosplayer?
Of being a cosplayer, I would say probably the materials themselves, especially with big builds, trying to plan out and then realizing that you... Oh my God. I've been planning out a big build that I've realized is taking a lot more parts than I previously thought.
Is it Vax?
No, it's Molly Mock.
Oh, yeah.
And Molly Mock is from what?
Critical Role Season 2.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cool.
If you ever... You know what character is. It's the one with the... It's the tiefling with purple skin.
Yeah.
And that big-ass coat with all of the hand embroidery on it.
That's a lot of work, yeah.
Yeah, but it's just kind of like putting all of those pieces together and then being able to afford them and also afford the things that it takes to make the things.
No, I sincerely sympathize with what you're talking about because as the other builder here, what'll end up happening is that you will acquire materials and you'll start like putting things together. And then you'll come to realize that you don't have the right tools to put them together. Like I realized recently that I didn't have, I have like one of those like basic, like reciprocating saws, mm-hmm. right? And I have a circular saw. You know what I didn't have? Like a basic wood saw. So I had to whip out the circular saw to cut a dowel that was just like an inch and a half thick. And it felt like overkill. Yeah. That was just too much for something that I didn't need to do. And if you don't have power tools, right, it gets even more difficult. So it becomes like a slippery slope.
Yeah. I would say especially if you don't have the space for it.
Yeah.
Like, which is a huge problem in grad school because a lot of us are living in apartments or on-campus housing where you're like sharing a house or at our school, like apartment-style townhouses with anywhere between one to three other people. Babe, you have to remind me back to my first year. My room was what? Like a 9x10? Maybe? They are not big rooms. They can fit a full-size bed.
That is exactly what it had in it. Yeah, a full-size bed. And I think he may have had a desk, but I don't think he really used it.
He moved the our third roommate never showed up because it was COVID times and a lot of people weren't coming. And so me and my roommate, we moved both of our desks and the third desk into the spare bedroom, pushed them up against the wall, and she was a art therapy major.
Oh.
And so we both were just crafting all the time.
Yeah, so it became the crafts, that. Like,
so it just became a craft room.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
It is. But, like, in thinking back, like, if I had to have my desk in that room, I would have brained myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not enough space. And then the follow-up question to that one that I just asked is, do you make a conscious effort to save a certain amount of money when you know that a con is coming up?
I do, but I'm probably not as good with budgeting as I would like to be.
That's fair. How much would you say then you usually spend just like going amongst like the artist alley, dealer's hall and stuff like that?
Oh, kind of depends on the con and like what I find interesting, because at Anime Boston, I told myself I wasn't going to spend anything on the artist alley. I lied.
That was that, but it was, yeah. We gave it a four. I gave it a 4.5 for a reason. Like yeah. it was really fantastic. Good.
We said that we wouldn't spend more than $300, and I think we spent $270.
Mm-hmm.
So we were pushing the limit of ours.
Yeah.
But no, that artist alley was insane. And I didn't even get all the pins I wanted.
I'm so sorry.
Do you typically collect pins and like art, or do you do like figures as well?
I typically do pins and art. I'm not really into figures.
Are you a keychain person?
Not really like a keychain person, but
I'm in the keychain cult.
Don't. Do not.
Your keychain scares me.
It is an actual weapon. Stop. There could be more. And they already live on our little keychain holder and take up so much space. I can't do more. It's not feasible.
I am mentally.
I have one. I get one spot on our 5 keychain holder. This is ridiculous. I don't need more.
I do.
No, you don't.
I like all the little tiny gay animals.
How many keys do you have on your keychain?
2.
That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous.
Well, 3. I have my car key, I have the key to the house, and then I have the key to the garage.
Do you not have a Donnie key?
Oh, I have Donnie key.
So you have 4 keys. Okay, that's better than I thought. All right, that's fine.
You know there are Ida bags that have like little like chain loops on them that you could hang keychains on, right? I have one.
That's actually kind of smart. Like,
that's
no, I didn't
have the majority of my pins in my keychains.
I did not know that.
No, that is smart. I like
all
them.
Of my pins when they're not on my Ida bag live on corkboards.
I like that the we should show Gray after.
Yes, but that's not a now thing.
No, yeah, no, it's cool.
Maybe if we stop here and come back.
Hold on, guys, field trip.
Pause for intermission.
Da, da, na, 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 da. It's like the elevator music just
crazy. Yeah.
I started doing it.
I did. I automatically, and I can never recreate music properly, so I just like, you know, but I leave it in because I edit it, so it doesn't matter, it stays in my poor renditions. All right. But yeah, thank you. I think that MJ, do you have like an idea, give like a general ballpark? We had 300 for Anime Boston, but how much do we try to have when we go to like,
so the thing that we're saying is like, we, fun fact, if you have cash, most artists, not the dealers, all most artists will not charge you tax.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's just whatever they say. If you use a card, they then have to add tax because the,
there's also like the square fees and yeah, stuff like that.
And that's yeah. why they add all the taxes yeah. and fees in. But they can report gains differently if it's a cash transaction. So what we do is we pull, and you have to see this great experience of us struggling with an ATM because we have Navy Fed due to my military status. But there are no Navy Fed ATMs further than like a 15-mile radius off a base.
Yeah.
And there aren't any bases in Boston, really. There's a couple, but like not where we were in Back Bay. And so we just had to struggle with like these, what is to us like a third party ATM, and we'll pull cash out before we enter the artist alley and everything. I think on average, we tend to try and pull for a 3-day con anywhere between $200 and $300.
Yeah. And this is not taking into account like the cost of admission or food or anything like that, which can be expensive. But I think genuinely for us, it's probably art. So I guess we all line up on that.
Or the hotel.
Or the hotel. Yeah, I guess it depends.
Because grad school is expensive in the form of, at least for us, there's not a lot of textbooks we have to get.
Yeah.
And so it's mostly just like cost of living is high where we live and like tuition. Where our school is. And you have to like ration out like how you're going to pay your next tuition payment, especially with like undergrad like loans as well, like kicking in soon. True. And so it's not so much like, wow, this is expensive. It's like, wow, I could put this towards food next week, which is a thing that I got to do our second year when we first moved in together. And I was the one doing like all of the budgeting for like cons and groceries and everything.
Yeah.
For three people. And that was a struggle bus.
No, for sure. Okay. So here's a somewhat related question, and now it's for MJ. All right. So do you think that, and I know that we started cosplaying mostly when like we came up here, and you cosplayed a little bit before.
Yeah.
But do you think it's easier doing cosplay and Ren fairs, other stuff like that, now that you're in grad school, or was it easier in undergrad?
Time-wise, it was easier in undergrad because I was younger and I just didn't have as much responsibility. Like, when I would go to Ren fairs in undergrad, I was, what, 19 to 21? Like, my only job was as a soccer referee, and I could just, like, make my own schedule and be like, I don't feel like coming in today, bye. And also, I was living in South Florida, and so the soccer referee money was good.
It was much better than up here. It's okay.
It was good money.
Also, all cash.
All cash. Oh, my God. Fun side note story about that. I used to drive a Volkswagen Beetle and lived in South Florida. And I would get paid in all cash for soccer reffing. You get paid half and half. You would get paid half in by one coach and half by the other. Mm-hmm. And so you would just have an exorbitant amount of small bills because...
Oh.
And so I would walk up to like the drive-thru ATM.
Yeah.
And there's one dude that always worked it on Mondays. And so his name is Mr. Sanders, and he just worked at this bank that I would go to, and I would drive up, and every Monday he would look at me and go... Why, hello, Miss Madeline. And I'm like, hi, how are you? And he's like, I'm doing well. How was your weekend? And I'm like, very good. I worked all weekend. And he was like, very good, very good. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, so what would you like to be doing today? I'm like, I will be making a large cash deposit. And he was like, yes.
In small bills.
And then I would send like $800 in this tube. And it was nothing but ones and fives.
Oh my God.
That man thought I was a stripper from the time I was 19 till I was 21 and I left that school. And God bless his heart, he was always nice to me.
At least he was nice about it.
You know? Oh my God.
It could have been a problem.
He could have been a dick, and he chose not to be.
Yeah.
But God, it was so fucking funny. And like someone looked at me, and I was in the car with someone when I did it one time, and they looked at me and they were like, hey, MJ. I'm like, yeah, what's up? And they were like, he definitely thinks like you're a sex worker or something. I'm like, and? They probably like do less physical exertion and get paid better. I ran 20 miles this weekend. I don't give a shit.
Big tournament weekend.
Getting paid anyways.
I got paid.
You guys are getting paid?
The friend then went and looked at me and was like, wait, did you just deposit $1,000? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
You got fractions of that up here, though.
I do make fractions of that. I just did my taxes, so I know how many fractions of that I make.
Tragic.
It is. Okay, but to
get to the point, yes, it's one of those things of it's like time-wise, so much easier in college.
College being?
Undergrad.
Okay.
But I was so much more reliant on other people. And also I was so much more reliant on my space. Like I lived in a college dorm. Like I couldn't have a full cosplay closet. Mm-hmm. So I would have to drive up. I would have to drive 3.5 hours up to my parents' house, work for one weekend, make an outfit, drive back down with it, and then the weekend after drive back up. And it's like, cool, like I just spent 3 entire weekends not working because I can't work on this during the week.
Yeah.
So that's different. So I think like cost and time-wise, it was probably easier in undergrad, but like ability and accessibility is way easier in grad school because you're also just more independent.
Yeah.
Just overall, like as a person, you have more independence in grad school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I didn't want to go to a Ren fair alone in undergrad, but I'm like, I go by myself now.
I went to a fairy festival in like
October. That's a fun sentence.
It was wonderful. And it was something I'd never considered doing alone when I was an undergrad, and like just being in grad school, having the ability to, and also like just the independence, I guess, was an experience.
I think the other thing that like happens, which is in like undergrad, all of your friends are in school with you.
Yeah.
That is not the case in grad school. we get along with the people at our program, and some of them are our friends, but like mm-hmm. it's much more coworker situation.
I see. There's much more like professional distance between you and your like cohort members.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
And that's not to say that they're not good people and that I don't like them, but it's very much like, I don't want to go to a fairy fest with you guys.
I don't think I could see myself going to a convention with any of my cohort members.
Oh, wow.
You were very nervous about doing it with me.
I was. Because, I mean, you were, like, what, 3-4 years above me? And
yeah, so that's the other thing of, like, with grad school, at least, is, like, we are taught very, like, within the first, like, month or two of the program that, like, everyone in the program is your professional equal. But also, the upperclassmen are like your professional superiors because like there are some times where like we will advise you and meet with you and do all of those other things.
Yeah.
So I remember when you first reached out to me through your like mentor and I was like, what is happening? Mainly because I didn't realize your mentor actually listened to the words that came out of my mouth when I told him things.
Oh my God.
How did that come up? That's a question that I've had, which is how did I come up between the two of you?
Yeah. Well, so my mentor, cause for anyone who doesn't like quite get what we're saying, you have the option all first years, I think, get mm-hmm. a mentor through the program.
A student mentor.
Yeah.
So it's a student a year or two above you.
Yeah.
And they will advise you on like how to get through it, not only academically, but also like socially and financially and like what any tips or tricks that they have kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. But so I was like, we were talking at one point, we were meeting and he was asking about my hobbies because we had talked a lot about academics for a minute. And so we wanted to kind of get off of that subject. And I mentioned like, oh, well,
I love that. Just like, yeah, we need to move on. This is we're too much on autopilot, actually.
I mean, yeah, it gets
hard,
exhausting talking about academics just constantly. Yeah. But we were talking about hobbies at one point and I mentioned cosplay and, you know, kind of going to a convention or checking out the convention scene around here. Because I'm not from this area.
Neither of us are. That was fun.
Yeah.
That was a fun learning curve.
Yeah. Yeah. But he was like, oh, I think MJ does this as well. And I was like, oh, wow, that's really cool. I don't know anyone else in the area who does it. And he was like, oh, I should connect you guys. And so that happened. And I was...
because, like, I like your mentor. He's very sweet.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, we've had, like, two classes together. And so, like, suddenly get this email, and I was like, I think I've mentioned this, like, twice to this man.
It's so, like, this now just, like, perfectly embodies my vision of how people interact in grad school. So I got his email.
Yeah, no he, like, text, he emailed me with you being CC'd and was like, hey, would you like to meet up to, would you be willing to discuss this hobby and like how it works. It was very much like when he sent me that first email, I was like, does this kid need advice?
Well, yeah, because I was also like super unsure as to how you managed cosplay during grad school
and so
like
we went and got
the logistics around that. And
Pokeball. Yeah. Pokeball is like a sushi, but just like squashed.
Depending on where it's either Hawaiian/Polynesian or Japanese based. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a rice bowl with vegetable and protein mixed in.
Yeah, it could be like...
It's so tasty.
It's delicious.
I think I might have had one before, but I didn't know
that's
what it was called.
I've gotten one before.
Really? Okay, yes. See? There you go. I was... intuition, guys. All right. I can pull up the next question now.
Yeah, go for it, dear.
All right, cool. So now, back to Gray. Mm-hmm. I know this happens for me during like a busy work season, stuff like that. But have you ever felt discouraged or have less fun at conventions because you know that school or work or whatever deadlines have overlapped with it?
I would say so, yeah. Both for Katsu and Anime Boston. I'm someone who really likes to get ahead on his work, so I
good
kind
for
of
you.
Try to...
aspirational, damn.
I said I try to. I don't say I
succeed. Oh, there we go.
But, like, both... For both of those conventions, I was like kind of grinding nonstop the like week or two before trying to get things out of the way.
For schoolwork?
For schoolwork, which kind of meant that cosplay had to fall to the wayside a little bit, which meant I think I did like one build for Katsu, which was Jack Frost. Mm-hmm. But then I didn't do anything for Anime Boston because it's so close to Katsu and it's just...
You should preach into the choir.
Yeah.
How did you feel about the bunny suit? Because we bought those. That was new.
Yeah. This is the first time I've ever worn something, I think, like that revealing as a cosplay. And it... I swung wildly throughout the day between feeling really cute and really, really self-conscious.
How did the Genshin one go? The Genshin meetup?
Honestly, the Genshin meetup was super nice. Everyone was so sweet and like just, it was a really lovely meetup. I really enjoyed it.
Did people pick up, like they clock you for your character?
D-Luke. Nice. At least that's how I pronounce it. I don't know.
Okay.
It looks French, so I say de. It's D. The Will of D.
Oh, no.
It's a one page reference. You'll get there. Just keep going. Because we popped in at the end of the end of the meetup, and you looked like you were having a good time.
Yeah. For that, I was having a great time.
Okay.
The rest of the day was time.
We talked about it a little bit.
It was definitely a time episode. Of all time. Yeah.
We talked about it the last time, and what I noticed being just like the handler. Mm-hmm. Was that for some reason people tended to respect boundaries when we had just like the big builds, like the Mihawk mm-hmm. and the Shanks and like whatever, because like they recognized it immediately and they're like, okay, can I take a picture with you. All of a sudden, the second that it was like a very like hyper like feminine bunny suit, everybody is like, just picture. Mm-hmm. Just picture. No question.
I don't know if I mentioned this in the last podcast or not, but like, for me, when I was talking to Dan Does Dress Up, a thing that I felt was like, it feels like people are taking this as, well, you're willing to wear it, so therefore you have to be willing to be photographed in it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another level of it for me of if anyone does, because I think I had like two people recognize me from my Instagram while we were there, which mm-hmm. was very fun. And I was like, well, on my Instagram, there are boudoir cosplay photos.
Mm-hmm.
That is like a thing that I've put out there. And it feels like, well, on some level, like on there is like a level of like, well, I've already seen you like this before. So why are you complaining? Like there's all like I could have technically downloaded because like the cherry photo, I compared like a photo of me in the cherry bunny suit to me in the cherry boudoir shoot. And I'm like, I'm more exposed in the photo shoot than I was as a bunny. And yet I felt more uncomfortable. And Danda's dress-up's takeaway was basically like, yeah, but you were in a safe, enclosed studio. You picked what photos you wanted to share. And on top of that, it wasn't like people were just taking photos of you without you knowing mm-hmm. or without like a proper posing. And I'm like, yeah, I guess that's fair. But it was one of those weird things of it's like, this feels weirder for me.
Yeah. And so this is kind of like an interesting, just put a pin in it sort of things. We will be talking about our cosplay code of conduct, which we started working on. And we have a set of cosplay commandments, right?
The 10 commandments.
And we will be discussing that in an episode in the future. So I guess stay tuned for that.
And it is a small time frame. And I think that's the big thing of cons up here in regards to like, where you're from or where we're from, mm-hmm. of theirs, it seems like because the weather is warmer, they tend to be more spread out all year long. But up here, they're like all in short time frames.
Yeah.
Would you say, Gray, that bot cosplays are like a nice kind of in the middle when it comes to demonstrating or like coming up with a new cosplay at a convention? Or does it take like stuff off your plate to know that you don't have to make something because you can buy something now?
I mean, it does to a certain extent, but I think I don't think there's anything wrong with buying cosplays. I think that it can be a really great, option for people. I think personally, I really want to kind of moving away from that sort of framework and moving more towards either thrifting or making my own.
Nice. Yeah.
Just because I missed crafting and so I wanted to get more into it. So both yes and no, because it's not like an option I really consider much anymore.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Well, because, like, buying cosplays is a really good way to, like, start interacting with the community.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And, like, start interacting and start going to meetups and stuff like that. But, like, I know, at least from my perspective, I don't know about you, the idea of entering cosplay competitions and craftsmanship competitions or the masquerade is a thing that I eventually want to get back into doing. Like, we've done one or two, you and I, Rye, and you can't do that with bot cosplays. Mm-hmm. Like, you're normally barred from entry.
Yeah.
Except for the masquerade you're allowed to, but like the craftsmanship competitions, it's a craftsmanship competition, so you don't enter with bot cosplays. And depending on what level you enter at, you're basically not allowed to buy anything.
Fair enough.
You have to, like, make your own shoes and stuff.
Whoa. Oh, that's awful.
Well, a lot of times it's, like, taking an existing pair of shoes and modifying them and stuff like that. But, like, you have to modify 100% of it, yeah.
Sure. No, the only reason that I brought it up is because I think of that as, like, if I was busy with classes, with, you know, internship, whatever it is that grad school entails, for, like, on a more general level, right? I would take comfort in knowing that I can go to a convention and that I can have, like, something to wear.
Yeah.
If I could just buy something, you know, I know that, like, for all of you guys, the Sunday cosplay was easy relatively because it was just a bot, like, put together kind of like that. And that took off. I saw that it took stuff off your plate. I know that.
Only because
sure.
I was struggling with Inuyasha's wig so fucking much. Fuck that wig. Fuck that crimper. Fuck that wig.
Mostly I happen that. To like my crimper, but
it's a great crimper, but fuck that wig.
Yeah, mostly fuck that wig.
Mostly fuck that wig, though. Damn. I threw a lot of bungos, though.
Bongo.
Got through a lot of bungo doing that wig.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Dogs.
I mean, I think the other good thing about being in grad school and having, like, slightly bigger space than you did in undergrad is, like, because I was talking to so many hoodies about it, is, like, I rewear a lot of cosplays.
Yeah.
And you can do that in grad school, and it's like, okay, so maybe I don't have, like, the 10 to 15 cosplays I want, but the 5 that I have, I've made, and I feel confident in them, kind of thing. And I think that's a big thing that you have to, like, learn to be comfortable with when you have grad school and work commitments on top of everything else. Like, it's grad school, it's work, it's practicum, dissertation. And then in the middle of all of that, it's like, well, I still want to be a person.
Yeah, like, have hobbies.
And have hobbies and interests.
Yeah, it's a lot of, like, time management. And I feel like, also, to that effect of cosplays, I might not buy as much as I used to, but I definitely like closet cosplays and, like, casual cosplays, especially for, like, Sundays or Thursdays or Fridays of cons, because they're comfy, and that takes kind of the effort away and kind of lessens,
like,
the
just
load.
Take a little
bit
off your plate, and I could see how that's, like, appealing for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, we now have Comfy and Inuyasha and Kagome, but also, like, Walk of Shame Cherry is a favorite of mine.
Yeah, that's just
because
the
wig isn't heavy.
Joe's shirt, and then what pants does it have?
Whatever torn up, disintegrated jeans I can find.
Disintegrated.
As I mentioned in a previous episode, I destroyed the ones that I used to wear with it. I destroyed squatting.
Yes, okay.
Ripped the seams on them, like, to the point where I'm like, I can't fix these. The clap of my ass cheeks was too strong.
Oh, it alerted the guards.
It did.
No. It did. Inevitably.
Inevitably, it did. I got caught. Had to restart the mission.
Oh, my God. All right. Okay. Now, MJ.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any resources that your school or schools in general offer that could be useful to up-and-coming cosplayers?
Our school? No.
Damn!
No.
Ice cold. There is one thing that I think of, like, right off the bat, which is that you print patterns at your school.
Oh, yeah. We have basically unlimited printing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's big.
Oh, nice. You thought that I had, like, nice fabric printing paper? No. I'm using regular ass 8.5 by 11 printing paper, and then I tape it to a window and tape the pattern together.
That's a good strategy, by the way.
Yes, if you are taping together a pattern that, like, you've printed from, like, Mood Fabrics or, like, some other, like, free online, even Etsy, tape it to a window. It helps you see the lines and get everything to line up.
But yeah, no, I'm thinking more in terms of like, I don't know, like school shuttles or stuff like that, like train access. Like maybe you got like, wasn't there a thing where you got like discounted train tickets as a student?
Yeah, no.
Damn.
Only for, no, because that for Amtrak and for CT Rail, that caps at the age of 21.
Really?
Or 22, yeah.
Okay, well, that could be helpful for, I guess.
Like for undergrads yeah. Not or early entry, so you can use it still.
Yeah.
Can't you, I think? You're on the edge.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, we have one friend who took, like, costuming and patterning classes, but you have to pay for those.
Yeah.
It's, like, her, it's their, like, minor in, like, costuming. No, I think, like, they're, unfortunately, in the school system, like, especially in the academic realm of, like, a doctoral program.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's almost like
frustratingly isolating.
Yeah, you almost are at like odds with your program to be able to do this.
Oh yeah,
actively. I've actively, especially with like how our class schedule is. Like, we've actively skipped out on classes. No, I know you did. I know I did. We skipped out on like the same classes.
I'm just kidding. We'll leave that in.
We'll leave that in. But no, and I think that's like the other thing of it's like sometimes. I can think of at least one professor that was actively diminutive of like how much effort and work I was putting into things. They're thinking of the same professor, let it go. And yeah, violently vibrates.
I do know the professor that's being talked about here. Yeah.
And it feels weird. And I think one of the reasons why I was so excited when you joined the program and like reached out to me through your mentor, whatever weird way it started. I don't care. We're here now.
It was strange though.
It was strange, but we're here now. So it doesn't matter.
It's okay. Over email.
Well, you just have my phone number.
Yeah, I know. But that's just like a crazy thing to me. In like
he
a cohort
class semester. With me that semester. You could have just like stopped me.
Everyone does everything by email in academia. It's stupid, but it works. So I'd rather have an email than have to meet in person. So,
but we then did meet in person.
Okay. Well, that's different.
She just emails an itemized list. All right, thanks. Bye.
I did think that was all it was going to amount to at first. I thought it was just going to be like texting back and forth and then I would never see you.
I was like, I'll make a friend.
Mystery person somewhere out there in the program.
Met me at the town hall, maybe.
Yeah.
Potentially. Oh, yeah. I invited you out for coffee and lunch.
Yeah.
And then I showed you around.
Yeah, which was very sweet. What were we talking about?
it's very isolating. Like, part of the reason why I was, like, so excited for you to join is because, like, I was... Like, I had someone in my program that was a nerd, and we would talk about, like, D&D and, like, comics and stuff, but I tried to talk to him about cosplaying before, and he was just like, that was a thing I did as a kid.
Oof. Yikes!
And I think that's the big thing of it's, like, when you get... all of these academics in a room together, like, they stop being fun a little bit. Like, they forget how to have fun. They do. And it's like, I don't want to talk about the long-term impacts of, like, generational trauma all of the time.
Yeah.
It's almost
I talk about this silly, goofy little anime boy that I want to be?
We've talked about this before, MJ and I. Mm-hmm. The idea that it's hard to turn off certain parts of, like, your professional life and like your daily life. I think MJ has been very successful at doing that. But that's almost an exception. It's almost an exception though from people that I've met, like through your program, through other. Yeah. It's difficult. I definitely understand. But I guess this question was meant to be an optimistic one and it came out to be very pessimistic.
That being said, there are a lot of in New England, a lot of like community resources.
Yeah.
Like the Y has a lot of sewing.
That's good.
And like crafting courses. There's a lot of small town, small family run fabric stores. Gray has met one and texted me the other day that he was fighting himself to not go. And I went, you can't. It's a Sunday. They're closed.
Get wrecked.
And then we're like, okay, well, tomorrow. And I'm like, you have work to do. You can't do that. Not allowed. Go back to school.
Don't collect 200.
Yeah. Yeah, although I think, like, you can find the community resources if you really look. It takes some effort because... I know, like, I was terrified to, like, say out loud to, like, my cohort and to other classmates that, like, I do cosplay, because I do think there's still a stigma around it.
Yeah.
I, like, when I did say that, I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. I don't care anymore. I found, like, there were several people in my classes who I now adore them. We are going to have, like, little crafting sessions and, like...
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Are, and I like, think they you have the advantage of yeah. age.
Yeah, for sure.
Your cohort is much younger.
Yeah.
Mine was older than the age I am now when yeah. I started, for the most part.
Yeah.
And it was very weird. Mm-hmm. And I tried to talk to them about it, like, a couple... And even the cohort right below me as well. And it was just like, nope. Don't care. Everyone's into, like, golf.
Oh, no. The like metaphorically golf, not no, actually golf.
There are three people I can think of off the top of my head that sit around and talk about golf. Yeah, hobbies are weird, and it feels like everyone in our cohort or in our program when I started had very much like adult and like business hobbies, or at least that's what they told everyone about. And so they're like, so MJ, what do you do? I'm like, oh, I do costuming and play D&D. And everyone was just like, child. And I'm like, all right.
It's like that meme of the people at a party who are like, ugh.
Yeah, there's a bit of elitism, I feel like.
There is totally. I think that's academia. The other big thing of it. It's like, yeah. We're still in academia, which is weird because we're considered like a helping profession as counselors. Mm-hmm. And therapists, but there's so much elitism in mm-hmm. the actual academia aspect.
Which is wild, because you're being taught all of these things of, like, you know, you're going to work with a bunch of different clients from different backgrounds and all that.
You need to be able to make yourself relatable and, yeah.
And, like, non-judgmental. Like, that's such a big thing that's emphasized, and yet here we are.
Being judgmental of each other. But then we're not each other's clients. So you have to get out your judgmentalness somehow.
Not on your client.
Can't be on your client. So it's just going to be on your, instead. Like, it's going to be on your, like, 22-year-old coworker.
Hell yeah, dude.
Of course.
All right.
That won't have negative repercussions later on.
Totally not.
Okay. So this one is a hypothetical question. Maybe it's something that's actually happened.
Oh,
but,
God.
Gray, would you ever forego attending a conference or other professionally enriching event for a convention?
Oh, no.
Come on, Gray. Slander yourself.
I mean, I feel like it depends on... Have I done research that I'm presenting at this conference?
Yeah, no, I get it. I guess this is one of those things where it's like, it would not be like a presentation of something you've been working on for a long time.
Okay.
It would be like a... It would be...
Like a research group.
Yeah, just like a nice...
just on the poster.
Yeah, you like see a thing for it. You're like, that's interesting to me. I just want to see like where something like that would stack up for you against like a big convention you'd want to, like a, let's say a Katsu.
Oh man. Okay.
Let's say we're going to switch to Oda.
Oda is your
home con, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Cause I'm super indecisive, but I probably honestly may skip out on the conference.
There was a conference I was supposed to go to that like, oh I could have gone God. To, and I went, nah, I'm going to RICC.
I want to clarify that this is why I asked Gray. Because I knew that Gray would actually like sit and be like, oof, wait, I don't know. It would be difficult. And I'm like, no, I know where MJ's at. Depends on the convention.
Depends like, on the convention, depends on what I'm doing at the conference.
Like, yeah, it's like,
probably not.
Like, and like I see like the scales, and I'm like, and a lot of the times I know where the scale tips. So I get it. I get it. No, trust me. I would do something similar. There are opportunities for us to travel a lot. And I'm like, that'd be great. Like, you know, and like all of the expenses are for the most part paid for. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I just would rather get to go with my friends to a convention and do something that I know that I enjoy. Right. Because I don't know. Like,
also, it feels like
however many times a year, it's nice. Yeah. And it also feels like a minefield in a professional setting because it's like, you got a mask on, you know, for pretty much an entire weekend. And like, yeah, you learn something and that's good. But I don't know.
You might network. You might network a little bit.
Maybe. You might network, but you might not. I've been to conferences and stuff back in like college. And every time I left them, I was always like, ugh. And I craved just like, I just don't want to do anything anymore now. So Very disenfranchising.
I went to one conference and it was on my 21st birthday. And my professor that took us there bought me my first drink. She bought me a mimosa for breakfast in the morning. I then presented a paper on third wave feminism and its impact on like female led comedies. And then I got trashed.
Oh my God.
So yeah, those choices have to be made. And like, because of the professor I was going with, I was like, I'm willing to give up my 21st birthday for this. Sounds fun. But now I'm like, would I go to an academic conference if I wasn't presenting? Or would I go to an anime con on my birthday? I think the answer is anime con.
I do want to kind of bring it back in a little bit, because I feel like for you, like your like future career path is almost like been laid out.
Yeah, it's too
a little bit more clearly, right? So somebody like Gray, a lot of people who have like, you know, a more like ambiguous like path forward, mm-hmm. right? They probably have to think about like, oh, I got to go to these conferences because I don't know where I'm going to be. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Got to find the thing that like calls to me. So I don't know. I feel like it depends. I feel like a lot of people think about it. Mm-hmm. And so for you, it's like, maybe not a home con,
yeah.
but like maybe like a Rhode Island con or something like that.
I'd probably choose to go to the conference if it was like a, like if there was something I was interested in that I could learn from. And
yeah.
If it was up here, you know.
It's funny thinking that conference doesn't get abbreviated to con. Convention does. So I keep thinking mentally in my head, but yeah.
I think anyways. The other thing is it's like with, especially you, seeing as you started cosplaying and going to cons kind of in England, mm-hmm. it depends on whether or not your friends are going to be there.
Yeah.
Because.
Went to cons in England.
Yeah. So my.
the actual England.
Yeah. So. What? Fun fact. My very first convention experience was actually in the UK. It was MCM London was my very first convention. Shout out to all my homies in England. I love you guys so much.
Ayo, England homies.
Yeah, no, but those are the first cosplay friends I ever made, really.
Give us the bullet notes, top three big differences between US and UK cons.
Oh, God. Okay. They're more polite in the UK in terms of, like, when they ask for your picture, they'll also ask for your, like, yeah, they'll show you, and then they'll ask for your Instagram handle, which I feel like is a pattern that I've noticed is not as like prevalent here.
Yeah, sometimes they'll ask for the picture, they'll take a picture, and then they'll just walk away. But now what are you doing with it?
Yeah, yeah.
Now it's just
especially strange. With some of the cosplays I do, I go, what are you doing with that?
Yeah.
Like, what's happening with that later?
Yeah. But yes, that's one. I think it's a lot. Everyone knows everyone there because it's such a small country compared to the US.
Yeah.
Even if like cosplay culture is small, it's smaller there than it is here.
Yeah. There's also less people.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's been a little while, honestly, since I've been there. So
did you go back?
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. Where'd you go? Okay.
You know, I'd go back in a heartbeat. I'm going back this August, so.
Oh, no.
For a con or just to go?
Just to go. But no, like to see
would
friends.
You go back for a con?
I would. Actually, some of my friends from England have come here for a con.
They came for a concert, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last year. And
I got to meet them briefly.
What?
Didn't you?
No, last year.
Oh, last year? No, I think you meant this year.
No. No, I haven't known you yet.
No. I got to meet them. Damn.
We might have run into each other.
That'd be kind of funny.
Maybe.
Just at Katsu.
That would have been hilarious.
Epic. Maybe there's a picture out there somewhere of like the two of us.
Epic crossover.
There's pictures of like that with me with so many hoodies and Dan does dress up like before we actually became like good friends when we were just mutuals. There are pictures of us like passing by at each other at like
ships in the night.
Yeah, like legit ships in the net kind of shit. And I'm like, that's fucking funny.
Like anime intro level stuff.
There are fanfics about that. Absolutely.
Oh no.
I have read them.
All right.
Oh my God.
So. My last question, mm-hmm. right, has already kind of been answered, but maybe you can touch on some more details about it. MJ,
mm-hmm.
I know you used to have roommates, and we used to live in a small apartment. How much would you say your living situation has impacted your ability to make increasingly complex builds?
I literally had a roommate in undergrad that would come to me and be like, you can't keep sewing. Because it was like loud. Yeah, it was just a loud ass machine.
Yeah.
Wow, I forgot about that. That is definitely a factor to think about because it's like, you know, with the crunch, you know?
Yeah.
And like I hyper fixated, and so I was sewing for like 8 hours straight. I think the other thing is it's like in undergrad, you had way more classes.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had, let me do math real. I had anywhere between 19 and 15 hours worth of classes, like just to go sit in on every week. We have six.
Speak for yourself.
I have six that I have to sit in on.
Wait, how many do you have?
12.
Yeah.
12.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, as you go higher up in the program,
you have less and less classes. And I only have so many because I have to, because the Navy requires me to have 9 credit hours.
Oh, okay. And you also have another year. Like you do an extra year, yeah.
Because your classes get replaced with practicum.
Yeah.
Which is like the hands-on kind of application.
Yeah, yeah.
But then like it's just like a lot of times practicum takes up like the place of work because it's failing you sometimes.
I guess let me see if I can sort of reframe this question. What about how much more space do you think we would need, right, for you to increase like your build size and to like feel comfortable with like the space that we have?
I would like my own shed. I would like to be like my mother, wasting away her retirement while working in her nice little pottery barn shed.
Go follow Cajun Lady Pottery on Instagram.
No underscore,
just one word, Cajun Lady Pottery. She does great work. We have a lot of her shit. It was our wedding favorite at our wedding. That dish. My mom made those dishes.
They're beautiful. I love them.
I point to a dish that no one can see but Gray can, so it doesn't matter. I would like a shed. And I think that is just because my current office is both my cosplay office, my work office, and like my like private room where I can sit and listen to music and read. Mm-hmm. And it's too much shit for one space. And to cosplay crunch and like properly do like big builds, I want like the ability to like hang things anywhere, but like I can't because I have to think about, well, if I meet with a client later, they can see what's in my background.
Yeah. The other thing is that, I don't know, like we don't know what like our future living situation is going to look like, but it'll probably have less space.
Yeah. I'm terrified.
Yeah. And so the fact that you have your own like office and like cosplay space and like whatever, having a lot of roles now, it might change again.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is like, I'm not going to be I'll have like an actual office on base.
Oh, and that's so true.
Like the work aspect will be pulled. Like the idea of like people having to be able to see in my house isn't going to be a factor.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
And so they're like, roles will change and all, but I think it is just the thing of it's like, I might want just like a shed, a nice little shed that I like have a space heater, have a fan. That's all I need.
That's physically separate from.
Yeah, it's just like physically separate. And like, just so I can, one, so we can have a functioning garage, because I'm not becoming a person that has a garage that's just packed to the brim with shit and I can't put my car in there.
Well, I mean, we don't have that now.
We don't have that now, but I'm warning you. But even,
I understand. I caught the warning.
Good. Grab it. Hang on to it. Memorize it.
Remembered.
Burn after reading.
I've never, growing up, had a garage that has ever held a car, even though my parents have a 2-car garage.
Two and a half. The thing is huge.
It is a very big garage. It is packed to the brim
with just tools. Shit.
No, it's packed with tools.
How many of them work?
What? Tools. How do you pack a garage to the brim with just tools?
My dad found a way. So
he did.
He just, yeah. I've seen it inside.
It's horrifying.
And like sometimes though he does get repeats of certain tools because he's like, this one has better reviews. This one has this and that. And so then he won't sell the old one. Then he gives me the old one.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. But the condition is I have to transport it and I don't want to transport it. I can't do that. I will not be flying with this. Like, you know, there was one time a circular saw, you had to check a circular saw and they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, don't do this to me.
All right. Don't ask more questions than I have.
I think it's weird. I don't want to do it, but I need it. And I'm not sending it to myself. This is actually nowadays, genuinely, nowadays, because MJ gets like free check bags. If MJ was with me, it would be free. It would just be better to do that. I don't know. Whatever. But
some airlines, JetBlue is weird, but like most airlines, military gets at least 2 free check bags.
Yeah.
Fancy.
So
I did sell my soul to government. So hold on down there. Calm down there, Cotton.
Yeah, I think that
fancy for, with a little asterisk.
A big black and red asterisk.
Yeah.
I would say that to really sum it up, I think that the amount of space we have now is perfect, but we are pretty lucky because we have 4 bedrooms and 2 baths, mm-hmm. right? And so we have one that is just like a guest room, right? And then we have like our own offices, and then we have a bedroom.
Yeah.
And so that's a great amount of space. And I think that that has perfectly allowed us to have work areas for like building things and like places to store all of those builds.
But I think the other big thing is it's like, one, we're not in an apartment or building, so it's not like our neighbors can complain. And two, unlike you, we don't have roommates.
Yeah.
Like, how do your roommates feel about it? When you were, like, stressing to hand embroider Jack.
Yeah. I don't know. We don't really talk, like, super often. So when I tend to keep my, like, cosplay stuff within my own space, within mm-hmm. my own room. But when I couldn't, like, when I was spray painting Jack's staff and, like, the eggs, I had to put those outside and I had to hold them, like, in a shared living space. Because I wasn't just going to put spray paint fumes in my room alone.
Smart.
If I have to suffer, we all have to suffer.
Yeah.
But
I was going to say, you wouldn't spray paint outside? Do you not have like an outside area?
We do. That is something I'm a little nervous for, actually, because I'm moving soon. Because I need to get a different apartment. I don't know if I'm going to have an outdoor, like an outside space to be able to spray paint.
I know all of the student buildings that are like the houses do.
Yeah, but I'm not moving into one of those.
Yeah.
Oof.
Like, see, that, those are, year. These yeah. are all things to think about and consider. Having an outside space is crucial. Yeah. It has been, it has allowed for a lot more flexibility for me to, like, you know, spray things outside, to work with power tools outside.
Mm-hmm. Well, also like just, like, solder shit.
Yeah, but, I mean, I solder things outside because I'm paranoid, but a lot of people don't do that.
Yeah, but, like, without our outside space, then you would just be paranoid and not doing it.
Yes, that's true. I would just not do it. You're so, correct.
No, you need that outside space.
I need that outside space.
To deal with your paranoia.
Facts.
I don't know what my roommates think of it, but, like, I am a little... I'm always a little bit apprehensive of, like, what they think of it.
Because mm-hmm.
Whenever I made a Wirt's cape in the fall from Over the Garden Wall, mm-hmm. and I was using the sewing machine that I have, and it was a little loud. And the walls are thin.
Yes.
In my apartment.
Shitty apartment wall.
Yeah. So, like, I had no idea, you know, what they could hear or couldn't hear. So it's definitely interesting. They both know I cosplay, because how could you not at that point?
Not.
But I haven't had any issues with it so far. So I'm looking forward to it. Like,
I think there's like another insane thing of it's like in our program, at least, like mm-hmm. when or at our school, at least, like you don't room with someone from your program.
Yeah.
Oh,
you just room with another random grad student.
Yeah.
Huh.
Although next year I am.
Do you think that's better or worse? Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Worse. Because like I lucked out my first year because she was an art therapy major. And so that was just like convenient. But like there's like. Like, do you know the majors of your roommates?
Sports psychology.
Yeah.
Or like athletic counseling.
You have no classes with them.
Yeah.
Oh.
Zero.
Oh.
So you like kind of barely know them unless you make an effort to get to know them. But
yeah.
And I only did with my roommate because it was COVID and like I couldn't go outside.
Yeah. Are sports psychologists like very active themselves or no?
Not always. It depends.
Depends.
Sports psych is odd.
Okay.
It's technically like sports psych is performance psych, but it's also like sport rehabilitation. It's a weird overlap of things. I don't know. I don't get it.
It's interesting.
It's fun. I technically work as a sports psych now.
That's I was going to say, is. That's why it feels like, you know, I thought that there was more overlap because you do it.
No, I'm mostly doing like performance, like preventative care, and then also just like actual therapy, because my two clients that I really need just need actual therapy and not sports psych. Yeah,
I can forward you to a great therapist. Puts on therapist hat. It's me, actually.
It's me. It's been me this whole time.
Welcome.
Do you have any other questions, too?
Those are all my questions for you guys.
I have a couple of questions for Gray, and I feel like Gray might have a question or two for me.
Yeah.
But one of my first questions is, we kind of touched on this, but I want to know so badly. What did you think when you first met me?
Wait, this has nothing to do with grad school.
It does, because of how we reached out to each other. And so it was this thing of, it's like, I am now this, like, you reached out to me as this weird mentor figure.
Yeah.
And you apparently very much thought that I would just be a weird email mentor figure.
Yeah.
That would never meet and just be a faceless blob. Unless you look in the newsletter sometimes. My face is in there sometimes. But no, because I remember talking to Ryan about, like, you reaching out to me. And I'm like, this is odd, right? And Ryan's like, no, that's kind of sweet that like they want to reach out. And I thought you were very much reaching out for like just advice. And I was like, maybe I can make a friend.
I don't know if I'm like outing myself at all by saying this, but there were multiple points in time when MJ would be like, yeah, and so then I'm gonna do this with so-and-so. I was like, you should hang out with Gray, because it sounds like you and Gray have a lot of things in common. And I was just like, that feels like it could be like a very like valuable friend. And MJ was like, oh, I guess, but like, you know, I don't wanna, you know.
Push. I don't know if he likes me.
And I was like, no. You know what? That's fair. And I was like, yeah, don't push. It's whatever.
He's so busy. I don't know if he likes me.
What? No.
Leading up to Katsu, when we found out they were going, but like, we're like already doing everything. I was like, I don't know if he's gonna want to hang out with us, Ryan. Like, he might be busy.
We have Katsu trauma though, so I guess that's like, I don't know.
This is a wild time. Anyway, yeah, so yeah, what were you thinking before we, like, when we first met?
When we first met, I mean, you were not what I expected.
Oh God.
Well, because I don't know, the way you text is really like,
it's
like
too horrible. It is too horrible.
It was
with the periods and the commas.
Oh my! I thought you were the most serious person on the planet.
Just dying in this corner.
I'm telling you that I.
That weekend, I dressed up as a man that was bitten in half.
Yo, when we first
oh no, no, now I have to pee. I laughed too hard.
Oh God. Yeah. When we first started dating, MJ would text me like that, and I'm like, I thought we had a good time. Like, what is this?
I was like, did I say something wrong?
I don't understand.
So I started replying like in similar ways of like mirroring the formality, and I was like, this feels so weird.
Yeah, I don't know.
That knowing that now, that explains a lot. Because I was like, I don't know, Gray doesn't really respond to me.
Because you were texting so formally.
Just write full sentences.
That's all I do. Oh my God.
You sounded so serious over text. I was like apprehensive to meet you, and then I think the first time we met in person,
you looked a little shocked when I like strolled out.
Yeah, I mean,
what were you wearing? I almost wonder if it was.
I think I was wearing jeans and a crop top. I think I was wearing my Dragon Ball Z crop top.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, but I think within that first like lunch day of like meeting and having a conversation, we talked about. We talked about anime boys.
And I think gay anime boys.
You brought up the fact that like Cherry is a bottom. And I was like, oh, this is not what I was expecting. All right.
And Ryan had that same problem the first time we went on a date.
Oh, I already brought it up.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So wasn't what I was expecting. But like in a good way.
Oh, cool.
It sounds like it, but I feel like this is it's a funny trend.
It's a trend.
It's
all
a
right.
bit of a funny trend.
It's two people.
All right. It's 100% of this room other than you.
Yeah.
So, great. Did you have any, like, questions related to, I guess, the grad school cosplay experience?
Yeah, I guess my general question is just, like, how do you kind of balance?
Because
I
know
you're... All right.
Unfortunate, but... Yeah, when MJ is in the crunch, I just, like, because... A lot of the 3D printing, it takes a long time. And so I have more like time, like, you know, to just do things around the house, mm-hmm. We kind of take turns. So then when I start doing things and MJ does things around the house, yeah. Unfortunately,
having... It doesn't have to be marriage. You could just be like a good buddy.
Yeah,
a good buddy.
You can find a roommate.
So I was going to say...
A Patroclus of sorts.
They're just friends. There's no word just for friends. The Greeks to have. No, it's kind of like I told you in that first meeting. Yes, it is having other people there to help you make builds. Like, we have so many hoodies and Dan does dress up and they help us with other things. It's division of labor. It's also like being proud in what you do enough that if you rewear it 3 or 5 times, you don't feel bad about it. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, it is using the short breaks that we do have to just push down a lot of shit.
Yeah.
You guys get a decent number of breaks.
We get two. We get a winter and a summer. And yeah. If you are a first or a second year, you have summer classes.
That sucks. Yeah, I forgot about that.
We also get a spring break. It's like a week long, but spring. It counts.
A week.
Spring break is important. That's when we got married.
Yeah. So
that was really, what we did last year.
You know, that now that takes precedent kind of thing.
Damn, son.
Wedding. See, getting married. But I think that's like the big aspect is learning to lower volume and increase quality.
Yeah.
Don't overcommit is the other thing that we learned.
Because there are one or two builds that I'm dying to do and they're just not going to happen while I'm in grad school kind of thing.
Yeah.
Unless somebody hoodies bullies me. And they might.
Well, let's see.
I want to make that fucking scythe so bad. But I want to do Thanatos from Hades.
Oh, okay.
But that scythe is ginormous, and he has like a huge palindrome off his one shoulder and a big-ass metal collar. And
that's a lot.
It's a lot. Do you have any other questions?
Why are you so quiet?
I don't know. I gazed off.
Whoa.
The middle of my sentence. I wanted to abort talking in the middle of it, and that didn't really work.
But you're like, wait, I can't do that. This is a talking show.
This is an auditory medium.
Oopsies.
Do you have any other questions? Because I have three big important questions.
Oh God,
I do.
The camera.
See, you came prepared, and I did not.
Well, I don't. I have three big important questions that we're going to ask all of our guests.
Oh right, yeah. Okay. Right.
So if you have any other other questions.
I do not, I don't think.
Not.
Well, I think we did good work here, boys.
I think we did great work. But I now get to ask my three favorite questions that we will get to ask all of our guests. The first one is, Greg, what is your dream cosplay? What is one that you're... And why haven't you done it yet?
Okay. This one I can answer right off the bat. Mm-hmm. Dream cosplay is Vaxildan Vessar from Critical Role, but like with... Like his final form of like fully articulated
level
wings,
20,
glowing armor,
wings.
Yeah,
about to die.
Everything.
Hey, yo,
spoilers, man.
Cult of
Mercer. It's been out since 2017. No, it isn't.
Still,
listen, the Cult of Mercer is listening, and I can't be on their bad side.
What is it called? I guess like the show. Now that it's coming out, we'll eventually get there. The animated one.
Okay. All right, that's a good one though. I like that.
So why haven't you done it yet?
I do not yet possess those skills, or the space, or the time, or the money.
All of the things that we talked about, really.
Literally.
All the things that grad school prevents. All right, what is your nightmare cosplay?
I'm imagining it's probably gonna be Molly Mock, honestly. Of, like, I'm gonna have such a great time with him, but also from the contacts to the body paint to the hundreds of hours of embroidery I'm gonna be committing to... I'm going to be so done by the end of making it.
Have you done body paint before?
Nope.
Oh.
So that'll be a new experience. Yeah.
Get a morph suit.
Yeah.
But there still will be. Yeah, but
you'll have to do your face and you like glue acrylics to the morph suit. You put it on, you find your nail, you put on the acrylic. And
yeah.
It's kind of cool. I like that a lot.
My last and my favorite question. Greg.
The only question.
The only
this
question.
Is why
really
we started the podcast, honestly.
I just wanted to ask every human being out there that watches
get
the
on the record.
And get them on the record for this. Right. Who is your favorite big, dumb, titted up anime man?
I would say it's a tie between
Al-Haytham from Genshin Impact.
Whoa.
Wait, which one? Wait, is that the porn dude with the boyfriend?
No.
Fuck! Hold on, where's my phone? What is his name? What is this man?
Arataki Ito is the one that you're thinking of. The one that I'm thinking of is Al-Haytham.
I can't believe I spelled that right.
What?
God, I spelled Arataki.
How did you do that? You never do that.
God. All right, so then what's the name of the one that you like?
Al-Haytham.
How do you spell that?
A-L-H-A-I-T-H.
All right.
This is...
Wait, let's see.
He doesn't have tits.
He does, I promise.
Let's see this photograph. That's not what I would think when I think
he has a cherry blossom.
But it's okay. He is more titted up than any other character. Okay,
so
in
the
starts relative to the game.
That's fair. Relative, he's big.
Thank you. Yeah. Gotcha. But it's a tie between him or...
Okay, fan art gave him a lot more than what he's actually working with.
All right. So then tied with...
Joe from Skate the Infinity.
Oh,
yeah! What a good call. That is quintessential big and dumb.
Absolutely.
Big and dumb. It was the main example MJ cites. Yeah.
That and Zoro. Zoro is also, they both also have green hair.
Yeah.
Big and dumb. God, that's awesome. I love them big and dumb. And Rayleigh's. Rayleigh's is also big and dumb.
I like green.
I like green. Bitches of blue.
No. What is your power? Green.
Say that again.
Green.
It's the Ninjago movie. Lego Ninjago.
I've never actually
seen. Oh, you get to hear Jackie Chan go green like four times.
It's really funny.
Thank you for coming on today, Gray. Tell the people your pluggables and where they can find you. While I laugh in the corner about my husband being lame.
Whoa.
Thank you so much for having me, first of all. And I am Gray. You can find me at Morally Gray Cosplays, Gray with an E, not an A, on Instagram and TikTok.
The stupid Brits really influenced
me. They really influenced me.
And as always, I am Actual Rye 96. You can find me on Instagram like that.
And I'm Cosplay _Cajun. You can find me on TikTok and Instagram. We've been posting a lot of TikToks recently from both Katsu and Anime Boston. So many hoodies has been tagging me in all of the sad Jean Marco that we've been doing. That has just been dying in their drafts. And you can find the podcast, Cosplay _ConCrunch Podcast on Instagram. We don't post often, but damn, when we do. Cosplay ConCrunch is part of the Rocktopus Podcast Network. With other podcasts such as Eric Hates Dragon Ball Z, where two friends, John and Spencer, try and convince their friend Eric to like Dragon Ball Z. What a feat. They fail. Spoiler alert.
No!
there's also Tales of Nowhere, a tabletop role-playing game where a similar cast of characters goes through every different RPG gruel system and set. Telling one continuous narrative through many different systems. And there's also Halloween Nation for spooky stories outside in the month of October. Thank you so much, and see you in 2 weeks.